This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Julie Rose, in for Mike Collins. The first impression many people get of Charlotte happens in a taxi ride, usually from the airport. And some wonder if we're putting our best foot forward. Airport officials are hoping to get a newer, more uniform, high-tech fleet of cabs by limiting the number of companies that can wait for passengers at the airport. 12 companies currently have airport permits. Airport Director Jerry Orr wants only 3 to serve the airport. The proposal angers taxi drivers who say they can't make a living if they're frozen out of the airport. And some cab companies say they'll fold if the changes go through. There are now 2 lawsuits over the proposal. And the debate has exposed a system in which the players seem to have little common ground. So to understand that better, we have with us today a 12-year veteran of the Charlotte Airport taxi system, Abdi Dwale, who drives for Nations Cab. Abdi, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me here.
And you're also a member of the Independent Taxi Cab Owners and Operators Association, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Also with us is Mayur Khandelwal, Vice President of Crown Cab here in Charlotte. Welcome, Mayur.
Welcome. Thank you, and good morning, Julie.
Thanks for being here. And we have joining us shortly Charlotte City Councilman Andy Doolin, who is a member of the Community Safety Committee, which has been working on revisions to the taxi ordinance. He'll be with us shortly. So to start off, Abdi, I was hoping you could explain for us how the airport taxi system works. Now, you've been there 12 years. Only 144 drivers in Charlotte actually have the privilege of sitting there at the curb waiting for passengers who come out of baggage claim. So how did you land one of those permits?
I landed by first making an application with one of the cab companies. Initially, to get a permit, you have to be a driver on the street first, and then you apply through the company to see if they have a spot available at the airport.
So it's through your company. The companies hold these permits. The drivers get that privilege from their own company.
Absolutely, even though at the end the driver observes all the expensive base for the permits and everything, but still he has to go through a company.
Now, why have you chosen to do that rather than to be on the street picking up fares?
You really cannot make a living working on the street. The streets are, Charlotte basically doesn't have enough business for street taxis. We don't have a big major attractions in downtown where people always go. So it's, you cannot make a living, support family by working on the street. It's very difficult.
Well, we'll talk a little more about that as the show goes on, but explain that to me, because there are 620 or so cab drivers in Charlotte. Only 144 of you have airport permits, so people are clearly making a living if they're those other 400 and something are working on the street.
Well, one thing people don't know is majority of drivers who work on the street also have other jobs. They do this part-time. So the fact is you see 600 taxis, that doesn't mean all of them drive taxis full-time. If you look at the people who do this full-time, it's a lot lower than that. There's also some other things that taxis on the streets do which, such as DSS, Department of Social Service, they do transfer those passengers too. So in a sense, you got to do something else besides driving taxi if you look on the street. If you don't and you don't have that, then it must be that you don't have enough bills to pay, per se.
Now, why do you drive a taxi then in Charlotte?
I do drive taxi because, number one, I work at the airport. Secondly, I love doing what I'm doing. I like being outside. I like interacting with customers. I have a good customer space that always calls me, that rely on me, and that's basically why I stay what I'm doing.
So how much of your living is made through these customer contacts that you've made over the years versus the people you pick up randomly at the airport when they come off the planes?
I'll probably say a quarter of my everyday customers are people who have regularly used me. But again, that's not for everybody. I'm a veteran driver. I have a lot of people who I've known for many years. That doesn't mean all the drivers who work at the airport have the same thing. Majority of them rely on the airport 100%.
Right. Now, Mayur, Crown Cab has been picking up passengers at the airport, so you've had some of these permits for many years, right?
That's correct, Julie.
Now, how did that process work for you? How does a company get the airport access?
So, that's a good question. It's been in place for many, many years. The answer is I don't know exactly. I know that we've had it since the early 90s.
And it's granted through the airport and the city kind of as a joint thing, I would think.
So there hasn't been a lot of movement in recent years. I'd say, I don't know of any company, and Abdi would probably know best, I don't know of any company that has been added to the mix within the last 7 or 8 years. So it's been pretty static for a very long time.
These 12 companies, Crown Cab has how many airport permits?
12 spots.
You have 12. Now, how do you decide who gets those within your company?
Right. So there are a group of drivers who are currently at the airport, and if a driver were to leave, then we look within the fleet to see who has been who would like to go to the airport, and then we order the request based on tenure, and the most tenured person would get the first option to consider driving at the airport.
You must have just a waiting list. I mean, if it's true what Abdi says, that the street is not a great living, the airport's where the plum action is, then I would think every single driver in your fleet wants to work at the airport.
So I would slightly disagree with Abdi in that there is a slight difference of how drivers choose to work. And I agree that there's a lot of drivers who want to be at the airport, and we always had people coming in up until the RFP, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. Every month we'd have at least 3 to 5 drivers saying, hey, I'd like to work at the airport. And then we'd tell them, you know, they'd have to join our company and then wait. And some would just walk off and go somewhere else. And others would say, okay, you know, I'll take a long-term approach and I'll, you know, join. Driving at the airport is really great for some people. For others, it's, you know, you put in a lot of hours, and you put in a lot of hours to get the trips. And
what do you mean you put in a lot of hours? Like, you have to work longer hours at the airport?
So right now, the airport has 144 taxi cabs servicing it, and each company has different policies. Our company has the drivers have amongst themselves created a policy where they work in an A shift or a B shift, right? So they basically work every other day.
They trade, so you have half of your permits working each day.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then each driver decides, you know, some days it's slow and you'll wait there for a while before a trip comes, and some days it's busy. And you'll take a trip like Monday mornings and Tuesdays. You'll take a trip, you'll pick up a trip at the airport, go drop them off generally downtown, and come back. And you'll be busy the whole day. And some days, like Saturday afternoons, you can be sitting for a very long time and not get any trips. So it's and some drivers would rather, you know, not be responsible for a shift and rather work on the streets and work when they want to and develop a clientele, kind of like Abdi has done. And we encourage drivers to create a clientele amongst themselves and for themselves.
It sounds like you very much consider your taxi drivers independent businessmen, small businessmen who are responsible to establish their own clientele. They will thrive as much as they choose to thrive and to work and kind of maximize on what they're doing with the permits they have.
That's correct. We try to facilitate that, but very much so. That's okay. Very much so the case.
Abdi, do you see your role that way?
Oh, absolutely. I would like to add what Mr. Mayor has said. The fact is every cab driver who lives in Charlotte would like to be at the airport.
And because of the money?
Because of the money. Working on the street, it's very difficult. There's not enough money. There's more hours involved. It's just the money is not there. The money to support for someone to work on the street full-time is not there. Now, let's go back to the system, what it was. 10 years ago or 12 years ago, when this system is set up was, you have all these cab companies, 12 cab companies. All of them apply permits at the airport. They only get certain numbers, let's say 12. As a result, even though they have 30 cars, those 30 cars support, those 12 cars at the airport support those 12 that are working on the remaining that are working on the street. In other words, a cab company will not be able to exist in Charlotte if they lose the permits at the airport.
All right. We'll get into that in a second because we obviously have a company owner here who can explain that for us. But you're right. Things are about to change pretty dramatically. Councilman Doolin, welcome to
Hi.
The show. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk just as we lead into the break here about this change. The airport director, aviation director Jerry Orr, has asked that he be able to give airport contracts to 3 companies exclusively. And he's identified a number of concerns. Now, I should say we invited the airport and city staff to be on the show numerous times. They declined. So I was hoping, Councilman Doolin, you could talk to us a little bit about your experience. You went out to try and get to the bottom of what's really going on at the airport and did some secret shopping, right?
That's right. I just on my own decided that I would secret shop the airport taxi services.
And how did it go? Tell us what you learned.
Well, it was at that point, the 3 that we had lined up, King Cab, Yellow Cab, and was it Crown was the 3rd? I took that list and called King Cab and at the government center. I wanted a one-way fare to the airport. And the first red flag that came up was that a Royal Cab showed up.
Which happens to be the same company, King and Royal.
Same company, same ownership. But confusing to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the airport director has wanted to do was make things at the airport streamlined so that we know who the cab companies are, that we don't have any doubt that when a visitor to Charlotte, a mom and dad or grandparents coming to visit their families here, business people, and there's millions of them coming through that airport every year, We don't want any doubts as to that they're going to have good, efficient, reliable service.
And with the 12 companies that have currently been permitted, that has not been the case?
Well, I don't think so. In a lot of cases, we don't know. For instance, it was concerning to me that I called King Cab and Royal Cab showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a business person, you want to know who you're doing business with. And
now,
if we call King, we want a King Cab to show up. That's who you called, that's who I called, and that's who I wanted to come. Now, the man who came in a minivan marked Royal Cab was a nice man. We had a nice conversation on the way to the airport. I think he took the long way. The fare was $22.50.
Okay.
And I gave him a $3 tip.
Now, part of what this RFP would affect, this change at the airport, actually wouldn't affect who could pick people up out in the community and take them to the airport. It affects the people who the cabs that have the privilege of sitting on the curb at baggage claim. So you then turned around and
stood there
as though you were a passenger to see
I went upstairs. He let me off upstairs, and then I literally just walked down the steps downstairs. I had my list, and then I called the other two, Yellow Cab and Crown, to check to see what their rates would be, and then of course went outside to the queue where the airport stand,
right?
Taxi stand. And by the way, it was in awful shape, just dirty. The guy who was standing there said, "Oh yeah, just get one," you know. And so that was bad service that I was not pleased with.
Not well marked. I've heard
not
that as
well
a complaint.
We got in the cab and then rode the cab back to the government center. And, it's a straight line down Wilkinson Boulevard to the government center. I gave him the address, 600 East Trade Street, and he got lost. Now, in both situations, the cab going out and the cab going back had their permit and their license literally taped to the dashboard of their car with Scotch tape. Very unprofessional. It was just a piece of cardboard or piece of paper sitting there. And those are the kind of things that we need to know. I mean, you get in a cab in New York, Chicago, it's sometimes under plastic, but it's very well out in the open where the consumer can see it.
So lack of uniformity, I guess, was a concern, that like a certain image that you felt like wasn't being portrayed.
Some of that. And if I may continue.
Sure, please.
And you know, these cab owners and operators that are here today, we know each other now. We've been very accessible to them. One of the other interesting things was that everybody's going to credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the first cabbie didn't have, the Royal Cab did not have a credit card machine. And then the second one, it was in his glove box. And he had to sort of fumble around and put the top back on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we really need to, if we're going to make it efficient and we're going to
come into the 21st
the
century,
the customer experience, and we're going to have to, and that adds cost to these men and women that are doing business.
It does.
One of the things they're trying to do is trying to lower the cost of their business so that there's more profitability there. And we can get into more of that as we...
We will. We have to take a break here in just a couple of seconds. We will, though, get into the issue of who is going to really bear the cost if these changes happen at the airport. And it turns out that it's not the cab companies in every case, and in many cases, it's the drivers themselves, people like you, Abdi. So we'll talk about that. We'll also take your calls coming up in just a couple of minutes after a break. We'll continue our conversation on Charlotte's taxi industry. This is Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the Charlotte Symphony, presenting Bugs Bunny at the Symphony, featuring Warner Brothers cartoons in concert Thursday and Friday, May 19th and 20th in Belk Theater. Tickets at charlottesymphony.org. Tomorrow on Charlotte Talks, if you work with the U.S. State Department, you deal with the most diverse collection of people on the planet. John Robinson is the State Department's Director of Office of Civil Rights and its Chief Diversity Officer, and he joins us on Charlotte Talks to talk about diversity and the role leadership plays in dealing with differences. When Charlotte Talks, tomorrow morning at 9 on 90.7 FM, WFAE.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, The manager of one of the world's largest hedge funds was convicted on 14 counts of insider trading. The message for Wall Street and Main Street investors.
It's the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 FM, WFAE, your NPR news source for 30 years.
We're back. You're listening to Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Julie Rose in for Mike Collins, and we're talking about taxis, how the system works here in Charlotte, and also changes, big changes that are in store out at the airport. So we've got with us airport taxi driver Abdi Dwali, Crown Cab Vice President Mayur Khandelwal, and Charlotte City Councilman Andy Doolin. Now, Councilman Doolin, just before the break, you were explaining some of the problems you identified in your own personal experience with the cab system out at the airport. So this idea then of limiting to just three companies who would have access at the airport, what would that accomplish? How would that solve these problems you identified?
Well, we're told by the airport director, who we trust to run that part of our business out there, that by limiting it to the three companies, he would be able to not only keep track of the age of the cars, but also the men and women who are driving those cars, the condition of their cars, and just have much better understanding of the customer experience that's coming in and out of the airport. Mm-hmm. Now, that airport is the doorway to our community, and this community thrives because of that airport, with the ability of businessmen and women to get in and out of our town, with the business of now visitors and so much the tourism business coming in, heads in beds, so to speak. So we really want to make sure that's a good experience.
Okay, so Abdi, you drive for Nations Cab. You've been out there for quite some time. These problems that he identifies, that, you know, there's a lack of professionalism, that, you know, some of the cabs aren't, they're not all at the same caliber. Some have credit cards, some don't have credit card ability. Some drivers know where they're going. Some drivers apparently don't know where they're going. Is this a problem? I mean, is it true in your perspective that some of the 144 drivers are not all at the same caliber in the same cars?
Let me just clarify one point. I want to thank Councilman Doolin for stepping in and coming to the show. He's been very spending a lot of time on this, and we, on behalf of the association, we thank you.
Yes, sir.
For that. Having said that, let's say, to give you an example, 100% of the cabs at the airport do take credit cards. As Councilman said, taxis he took was from downtown. I cannot speak to the taxis who work on the street. That falls under the BVH. And in fact, BVH.
The PVH is the private passenger vehicles for hire
yes.
board, which is a board that is under the police department, which
Absolutely.
Is equally confusing, but also has some responsibility to the city council.
Yes, ma'am. So, in a sense, all the airport drivers have the uniformity already. They take credit cards. All of them have GBSs. All the things that this RFP is trying to implement is already there. The fact is, these drivers are going, they become the scapegoat. Something happened somewhere else. Instead of looking where this incident took place, it comes back to the airport.
So, Abdi, what happens to you, to your livelihood, if you can't drive at the airport anymore?
Well, I mean, go out of business. My business will shut down. In fact, I might not even be able to pay my mortgage.
You can't just go hustle on the street somewhere
The income that I will generate from the streets will not even pay my bills, to be honest with you.
Well, may I add something to that?
Sure, go ahead, Councilman.
Oh, well,
go ahead.
Interesting, though, of my ride back from the airport to the government center that day when I secret shopped the taxi service, that gentleman was, you know, he was legally working the airport.
Right, he has one of these permits,
the airport
permit. He was
next in the queue line. I walked out, he pulls up, I get in, and we take off. But, and again, it was a $25 ride, and I tipped on the way back and so forth. And
standard fare, the $25 is set by the city.
About standard fare. But now he was going to drive back to the airport and get back in the queue at the airport.
Which seems completely inefficient, right?
It's
not circle the block?
So he's only making money half the time. He's spending half of his day empty driving back to the airport.
And so, Abdi, why would you do that?
I mean, that's the way the industry works. See, people don't understand. The concept is you cannot get fares in both ways. The only way, the customers arrive Mondays, Tuesdays, and Sunday nights.
At the airport.
They go back on Thursday and Fridays. So it's not like it's impossible to get a fare from the airport and then get another one back to the
airport.
Another point that I want to add is there's also drivers who work on the street. If someone is leaving from downtown and going back to the airport, it's better for the individual drivers who are suffering on the street to take that fare back to the airport.
So you're saying that you would take a passenger from the airport, drop them off downtown,
yes,
and then rather than go get in line and maybe or look for somebody who might be trying to be flagging down a passenger
right
on the street,
right,
you're just going to go straight back to the airport and get in line again to take your next. I mean, you're doing that because you want to help the street drivers?
Well, not only that. Okay, when you drive around, it's not likely that you're going to get into the water. If you look at, let's say, Bank of America, there's a taxi stand up there. Those taxis are waiting for the ferry.
Meaning there are parking spots that are designated for
absolutely
taxis.
Absolutely, yeah. So when someone is leaving from that Bank of America headquarters and going to the airport, the same driver who dropped the passenger should not be even getting that fare. What about the ones who, we have to be fair with everybody. Look, we want even the street drivers to make a living. There are some cities that have the policy where the airport drivers stay at the airport, street drivers also take care of downtowns. The same system can't apply in Charlotte, and everybody can make a decent living. Why someone have to make a lot instead of everybody making enough to take care of themselves? That's
so,
the point.
Mayor, you're with Crown Cab. Do you see the structure that way as well? I mean, is that what you expect of your airport drivers?
Right. So I think, there's a couple of things. I think it's a good point here to step back and see where taxi cabs in Charlotte stand against the rest of the country and the rest of the world. You know, taxi cabs is one of the businesses that's absolutely universal. You know, okay, in some places it's a rickshaw, some places it's an auto rickshaw, some places it's a variety of vehicles, but the concept is the same universally, right? And, you know, a couple years ago in Cleveland, they tried to go from 7 to 4 companies. They tried to go from 7 to 3 companies at the airport in 2007. The companies that weren't in the inn got an injunction by the judge's ruling in November 2007. In February 2009, the 6th U.S. Circuit of Appeals voted 2-1 to overrule the lower court's decision. In June 2009, the transition took place, right? And this story is universal everywhere. And then the punchline is, according to the Columbus Dispatch, the airport director was choosing to have a more efficient and customer-friendly service.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That sounds
so
familiar.
That's familiar, right? And this is, you know, I have articles that speak to things like this happening in Palm Springs.
So why won't it work?
Right. So what the reason why lots of airports have chosen to go through the politics, and I think that's what's really to be questioned, right? Why would Jerry Orr, why would all these individuals choose to go through the politics when it's known that everybody faces the same rocky road ahead? And the answer is, you know, service, right? And so one condition is the age of the cars. Jerry Orr and the director of the airport has the opportunity to set higher standards for the vehicles. And I agree that can be rolled out regardless of the number of companies providing service. Now, the second thing is a little bit trickier, and I think of the analogy of a restaurant, okay? In a restaurant, some days are busy, some days are very slow. If the manager of the restaurant doesn't step in and tell the waiters and waitresses when to work, then you're going to have waiters and waitresses coming in, and they're not going to be making enough tips because either there's too many waiters and waitresses, and so they'll say, like, I'm not making any tips, I'm going home. And or there'll be days where there's too few waiters and waitresses, and the customers at the restaurant are very upset with the service, and they'll stop coming, right? And so the end result will be this because of a misalignment of supply and demand by the manager of the restaurant not taking control of scheduling waiters and waitresses for the restaurant guests, you have service failures.
So are you saying then that you agree that there need to be fewer cabs at the airport?
No. Remember, the proposal, the end result is going to go from 144 to 156 cabs servicing the airport.
But only 104 of those will be full-time, and then there will be 50 that are peak time come in at certain periods.
Right. So you're replacing one type with two types, and the total is greater.
So you think that that limiting to three companies, which we should mention, Crown Cab is one that has been selected
to get
a contract. So this is to your benefit.
That's correct.
To have this limitation. You think that it will indeed result in better service.
So it depends on how it's executed, right? So if we go on with the restaurant analogy, now, if you have a restaurant has 150 waitstaff, a massive restaurant, right? And if the restaurateur or the general manager chooses not to have any intermediaries between himself and the 145, 150 waitstaff, you could have a lot of chaos, right? The airport has chosen to have one or two contacts from their airport, and they want a distribution of responsibilities. And therein is where the companies will come in.
So, okay, so that gets to the issue that the airport drivers, you, Abdi, and the folks in your association at the airport have said, we don't need these intermediary companies. We should just be able to hold these airport permits ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And let me make a follow-up point on his point. The case he cited, if you look at it, the drivers who already work at the airport are included. What is happening here in this RFP is you have 144 drivers who are small business owners.
You own your own car.
Right. We also have a business license. We consider ourselves to be a small business owners. We work. The city, in fact, requires us to be under these big companies. And at the same time now, the same city is saying, oh, by the way, we're going to kick out these guys and just select these three. And we're saying, look, put aside this company. We didn't even want to be under this company. In fact, you were suffering under them. We've been providing this service. Tell us what you need. We will provide to you.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. You drive for Nations Cab, but you own your own. What do you drive? What's your vehicle?
I have a 2006 Dodge Caravan, fairly new car. It's got credit card machine. It's got GPS. It's got everything.
You pay. Is it paid off?
Of course.
And you pay insurance on that?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you pay fees to the city for your taxi cab license?
I pay somewhere about $600-$700 to the city, and at the same time, we pay anywhere the drivers as anywhere from $10,000 a year to as far as almost $26,000 a year to the cab companies.
So you pay a franchise fee to your taxi.
That's weekly.
Anywhere from $50 to $550 a week, right?
Yes.
That was a yearly fee you had given us.
Yeah.
And this franchise fee, I mean, Councilman Doolin, this is what you've been hearing from cab drivers. They feel like they're really getting squeezed by some of these companies when, like you say, I mean, Abdi is an airport driver. A lot of these airport drivers don't even turn on their dispatch radios. When you called to get a ride to the airport, one of these guys is never going to get that call because their job is to solely sit at the airport and wait for cabs, fares.
And by what he's just said, that's where he wants to be. He does not want to get the call to come to a neighborhood or come to the government center.
Does that seem reasonable that these airport drivers would be expected to pay, in some cases, $550 a week for essentially the privilege of holding one of these taxi cab airport permits that the company has because these individuals are not allowed to hold them themselves?
And that's a contract between the drivers and the companies that have the flag that they drive for. I mean, I think it's oppressive to the men and women that are driving these cabs. They cannot make a living doing that, and they certainly can't make a living taking one man, like I got a ride, one man from the airport to the office building in downtown Charlotte, getting paid a $3 tip on a $25 cab ride, and then driving empty back to the airport. I don't see how they do it. Now, one of the things that we've been told is of the 620 cabs in Charlotte that there are, and this is information that I've been told, I haven't looked it up, that there is business for about 400 or 450 cabs.
That there are many cabs in
Charlotte.
Less
cabs would be more business and more paying fares for these cab drivers.
In my reporting, I've heard the exact same thing across the board.
Sense.
Is it true? Are there too many cabs, Mayor, in Charlotte?
You know, if I put on my other hat without overstepping it, Abdi and myself, as well as others, are a part of the passenger vehicle for hire board. Mm. And as unlike what many people think our board has, our board has almost no power. We listen to appeals and we make recommendations as to annually we look at the fares and see if they need to be adjusted and make recommendations. Every so often we look at the numbers of companies and drivers and look to see if that should be modified. And the Passenger Vehicle for Hire Board recently took up the question of should there be a limit on the number of cars. And we tabled that discussion because we were brought into the discussion of recommendations for the ordinance as a whole, right? So normally we were looking at the question of numbers, which we're supposed to look at every so often, and we pause on that to look at the ordinance. So the question is...
Because currently the city does not limit anyone who wants to be registered as a taxi driver...
That's correct.
Can get a permit in Charlotte to drive a taxi.
If you talk to members or organizations like the Taxi Livery and Paratransit Association, which is kind of like a trade organization, and they'll say that, look, if you have many cities will go through no regulation begets poor quality of service, and poor quality of service begets a need for regulation, and everybody re-regulates. I think most drivers like Abdi and those around who have invested would be very happy if their investment – was valued, right? You know, there's people out there who can put on any kind of a car, and Saturday night they'll cruise and they'll pick up customers at Epicenter and that sort of stuff. Now, if anybody can do that, it becomes very difficult for a person to be incentivized to play by the rules.
Well, I want to talk to you about these fees. Let's go back to the franchise fee, because this is a real big concern for these drivers. Crown Cab, what do you charge your airport drivers a week?
So our airport charges are at $237 a week.
And for $237 a week, these are drivers who own their own cars.
That's correct.
Who pay their own insurance. They keep their fares. You get this franchise fee from them. And what are they getting from you?
So our franchise fees are determined by a couple of factors. One is we have to be able to provide service for the drivers.
What service do you give them?
So part of it is keeping track. So the vetting of drivers is important, right? So starting from the very beginning, making sure that we bring in drivers that aren't going to ruin the reputation of the entire company and therefore ruin the chance of the entire contract, right? So keeping drivers, we have to invest in technology that's used throughout the company. And we have to, you know, keep track of all of the...
Do the drivers have to buy their own...
The drivers buy their own car.
GPS. So they have to buy the equipment that goes in their own car, though?
Not... They can buy, but generally they rent from us our meter, our top lights.
So they're still paying you for that,
They're
too.
Paying for that.
So they're not getting that as a result of their franchise fee.
They're getting that as part of their franchise fees.
The rent is included in the franchise fee.
The rent of that equipment.
Of that equipment.
Right. So just broadly speaking, I mean, the factors that determine our franchise fees are the cost that we have to bear to satisfy that business. And there is an element of what the market will bear. And that being said, what the market bears isn't what we can put someone in a car today. We have very little turnover. In the last 5 years, we've had maybe two drivers who have left. In the last 5 years, of the owner-operators, we have two who have left because they've left the industry, right? So that doesn't speak to excessive franchise, right?
Well, so Abdi, I mean, how much franchise fee are you paying?
Well, I'm paying about $200.
To Nations Cab. Why don't you go find another cab company that's cheaper then? Well, like he says, I mean, drivers aren't leaving Crown Cab. You haven't left Nations Cab.
If I try to do that, remember, these companies control that permit at the airport. The city does not. If I try to leave that, then I lose that spot at the airport.
So you would switch to some other company that has a lower franchise fee, right? And then you're out on the street
and that's
taking up
where
fares.
The privilege has been abused. You have a company that's charging, let's say Checker Cab, charges $170 a week. You have another one that's charging $360, another one charging $550. So what's happening is, let's go back to what created this problem. We didn't have this problem 6 years ago. And I want to go back to the point that Councilman Doolin raised before. What happened is you have companies moving outside of the state, coming to Charlotte, seeing our system. Our system used to work smoothly 6 years ago. Now, these companies look at this and say, realize that there's no statute limits how much they can charge to the drivers. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the drivers are charged $550 a week.
So, Councilman Doolin, just quickly here before the break, it sounds like there are cab companies taking advantage of their drivers. Do you hear that?
I hear it, because I see them, and I see these cab drivers, and it's very difficult for them. And if you start running the numbers, it's difficult for them to make a living doing this. A lot of that's the private sector, though. And
these changes you're talking about as a city are not going to fix that, it sounds like, at this point.
Right. And so, I mean, it's where does government step in? Do we step into a private contract between a cab driver and his company?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back with Charlotte Talks.
Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Staples, providing a full selection of tech products for both the home and business, all presented by trained associates online. Details and full product information available at staples.com. Coming up at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show in about 20 minutes, the crackdown on insider trading. The founder of one of the world's largest hedge funds was convicted on 14 counts of insider trading. The message that sends for Wall Street and Main Street investors on the Diane Rehm Show at 10 o'clock here on 90.7 FM WFAE. If you'd like to join our discussion today, give us a call now, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or online at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. We're coming right back. In the past, WFAE's June Fun Drive has lasted for the better part of a week. This year, we're trying something different, a one-day fun drive. It's on Thursday, June 9th. This means more programming and less fundraising. Will it work? With your help, we believe it will. You can pledge right now at WFAE.org or make sure you call in a pledge on One Day Thursday, June 9th, and enter to win a Caribbean cruise.
Welcome back. I'm Julie Rose in for Mike Collins, and you're listening to Charlotte Talks here on 90.7 WFAE. Joined by longtime Charlotte taxi driver at the airport, Abdi Dwale of Nations Cab, also Crown Cab Company Executive Mayur Khandelwal, and Charlotte City Councilman Andy Doolin. Just before the break, we were talking about these franchise fees that taxi cab owners are expected to pay. We've got a bunch of taxi drivers, in fact, on the phone right now. If you'd like to call in and join the conversation, you can reach us at 704-926-9322. Or WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. And let's go ahead and hear from one of the folks on the phone here. This is Javed on line one.
Yes.
Can you hear us okay? What's your question?
My question is, you see, you're talking about airport drivers and city drivers. Why don't make one uniform taxi driver? Let's have all the taxis come to the airport and pick up the passengers. Like when I'm the street driver. When I take customer to the airport, I'm not allowed to sit at the airport. I'd rather sit at the airport and pick up the customer to bring them back.
And who do you drive for, Javed?
I drive for Diamond Cab.
Diamond Cab. And how much is your franchise fee for the week?
I pay $100 a week.
Okay. So street drive. Thank-
I own my own car.
Okay.
I own my own car. I pay the city dues. I go through like airport drivers. I get a permit from the city. I get my car permits just as well. I get my own business license and everything. But I'm not allowed to pick up from the airport.
All right. Thank you, Javed. So this is something I heard in my reporting in the last couple of weeks. Across the board, the street drivers say, we'd all like access to the airport. Why do we have to have airport permits? What would be the problem with that, Crown Cab Vice President Mayur Khandelwal? What do you think?
So let's take a step back and realize that we're not the only ones that are asking this question. This question gets asked throughout the country. Places like Palm Springs, San Jose, Southwest Florida International Airport, Fort Myers, Salt Lake City, they've all tussle this. Even Raleigh-Durham has tussled this question, and they've come to the decision that fewer companies makes it more manageable for the customers of the airport. A big issue is this balancing issue, right? You know, Saturday afternoons, there's maybe enough business for three cabs.
At the airport.
At the airport. And I think we'll agree that there's a very limited
It's not a busy day. The busy time is Monday.
Right. So the question is, how do you ensure that their service is matched with the demand, right? Now, if you have 144, if you have 600 autonomously operating entities trying to make a decision that's best for themselves, you might get enough people at the airport, and you might not. And so you need some mechanism. I mean, you need some mechanism that works to match supply and demand at the airport.
So that's what Director Jerry Orr is saying is he has said at 10 city council meetings, look, there are too many. You go out to the airport and you see 60 to 100 cabs sitting there waiting. They have their own little parking lot. I mean, they've got time to I've been out there. You guys have time to play backgammon and kind of wait and chat with your friends until it's your turn, until your number gets called. It's very orderly, but it would seem kind of inefficient. And Councilman Doolin, you have said you think that limiting would be important, limiting the number of companies that have access to the airport.
If there are lower numbers of cabs available to take a fare at the airport, then there's more fares for the cabs that are there.
So, but you've also said you don't want to get involved in the private business of companies and what they charge their franchisees. So how do we balance this so that the cab drivers are able to make a living, but we don't have a system like we do now where basically, you know, we could have an unlimited number on the street and they're all sort of sharing not enough fares?
Well, you know, I think that, for instance, our family, my wife and kids and I, would consider taking a cab to the airport if we knew, and not parking at the airport when we go on a trip somewhere, if we had the ability to know that it was going to be efficient, cost-effective, and right where we needed to be when they would come, when we called them. That's something that if you travel to Chicago or in this big city, you don't think twice about jumping in a cab and taking it uptown or wherever you happen to go. You know, Charlotte, there's a little bit of a mindset there, and we're still thinking of ourselves as a small town where we don't just universally think of a cab as the first option to get somewhere.
Let me chime in here and address this point. Look, there are 144 taxis at the airport. Those are individual majority of them are actually 6 years ago, 100% of them used to be small businesses owned by the drivers who drove that car. Since then, few of them have been taken away to serve at the airport and put as a rental lease instead. Now, we're not complaining about how much we make. We do okay. Considering where the situation, economic situation in this country is, we're not complaining about that. What we are saying is, look, we've been doing this job a long time. We know how to do it. You tell us what you need, and we will provide it to you. We want a uniformity. You've never seen a cab driver saying having an issue, something related to the customer service. We are for the customers. Now, the point with what's going on here is there's a special interest kicking in. Someone is trying to kick out the people who have been serving this airport for the last 20, 25 years and bring in people from outside. And the council needs to know that.
So, Councilman Doolan, this gets to the point of the RFP, this RFP process that we've been hearing about this hour. It's the way the airport, you've got a couple of binders there on your desk. The way the airport and the city have handled this, the call for a proposal and then the selecting of these three companies, one of which originally King Royal, my or not Crown Cab. King Royal is owned by a couple of men who have felony convictions related to obtaining false driver's licenses. So, and the city manager decided that it wasn't in the best interest of the city to issue the contract to that company. So now there's another company that's been selected. Now over the weekend, we learned from the Charlotte Observer that King Royal is suing to stop this. They're looking for an injunction. Has this RFP process, this whole airport selection process been handled correctly, Councilman Doolan?
Well, I can't say if it's been handled correctly or incorrectly, but it is a very complicated process that we've been going through. And what one of the things that complicates it is that City Council really wants to get it right. We're not talking about numbers. We're talking about families. We're talking about business people. We're talking about immigrants that have come to this country and are trying to make a better life for themselves and their generations of their families that would follow. So we're talking about somebody's livelihood and their family, then it's a big deal. And so we're trying to get it right now. As far as the gentlemen that are suing the city now over all this, I'm going to have to be very careful about what I say, but I can tell you, I will tell you, that as an elected Charlotte City Council member, I have to be out in the community, and I'm the one that has to explain to neighborhood groups, explain to church groups who we're doing business with and why. And it would be very difficult for me to step up in front of a Boy Scout troop at a church one Sunday night and tell them about the RFP process and the business that the city is in quote unquote in bed with at the airport, where there are convicted felons.
So one of the proposed changes to the overall taxi ordinance is that annual criminal background checks would have to be performed on the managers and owners of the companies, as well as the drivers who have been suspected to submit to these background checks in the past, I believe.
Yeah. Let me follow up on that too.
Yeah,
there you go. One of the things that makes all this complicated, that these two brothers got convicted of trying to get false driver's licenses for their drivers. And we have a law that says that a convicted felon cannot be a taxi cab driver. Oddly enough, we don't have a law that says they can't own the cab company. So these guys don't drive anymore. They just own the company. And, you know, that kind of thing raises up red flags for me as a council member.
Yeah, your Crown Cab, Vice President Mayor Condowell, this issue of criminal background checks and so forth, I mean, is it a problem, do you think, from the perspective of a cab company owner that, has the city been diligent enough in that?
I really don't have much to say except that, you know, if you're a shareholder of McDonald's, nobody cares what your criminal record is, right? So, but if you, you know, if you work...
Bad analogy, by the way.
If you're CEO of McDonald's, someone does care. My point is, I understand that the question is, how much relationship do they have? And that's, I mean, I'm a bystander on this. I really don't have much to say about that. I guess one thing it does say is, it does, when anybody has a black eye, the whole industry gets a black eye. Like Councilman Doolan was talking about quality of service. I encourage him to take a cab in Charlotte and go to the airport and drop his kids off. I mean, go drop your car at home and take it to the airport. The taxi cab industry universally is on an uphill climb in terms of establishing itself as a respectable business. And we take a black eye. The entire industry takes a black eye when, you know, one of our leaders, you know, gets messed up in these kinds of things.
So we've got a comment online from a Belmont resident who seems to underscore kind of the larger problem that the city's trying to solve with this. She says, this individual says they've lived in Belmont since the fall of 2005, probably fly 3 to 4 times a year to see family and attend academic conferences. On cab service from the airport, this listener says not all cab drivers at the airport accept credit cards. I don't know if that's a recent change, Abdi, or not. The listener says, I've also had to direct the drivers to Belmont by the shortest route. When my daughter came to visit last year, the cab driver became completely lost trying to find Belmont Abbey College in Belmont. The fare ended up being around $70. He reduced it to $40 for the getting lost problem, but it should not cost more than $25 for that distance. And then the listener says, my experience with city drivers is worse. And this is a difference you underscored earlier, Abdi, that city drivers and airport drivers, it's like they're almost two separate classes of taxi drivers. And this listener says, when I call for a ride to the airport, they do not know where Belmont is. They've gotten lost on the street where I live trying to find my house, and once a driver became completely lost trying to get me to the airport, I now do anything in my power to avoid having to take a cab. Is that problem solved by a blanket decree that only three companies, including Mayor Khandelwal's Crown Cab, get to have access to the airport, or do we have some bigger problem that we're really not addressing here, Councilor Dillon?
It's actually going to make it worse, and here's why. These three companies, I'm not talking about Crown, but I'm talking about others, will bring a new drivers and replace the drivers who have experience.
You say that they're going to bring their own drivers from the street to the airport.
Not from the street, even from outside of the state. We have companies now importing drivers from Florida. And that's a fact. Now, what is going to happen is you're going to bring a drivers who are not even experienced. To the emailer's point, that those drivers will not even know the shortest route. And I do apologize to that lady. And the fact is,
GPS would do.
100% of the drivers at the airport must and do take credit cards. If they don't take credit cards, they should not be working at the airport.
Currently is no rule, and that's one of the things that the new airport contracts would require, is that you would have to have a younger vehicle, 3 years old when it goes into service. You would have to have backseat credit card technology. There will have to be, I guess, the paint job is going to have to be up to snuff. But I want to talk about those costs, though, because Abdi, if Mayor, your drivers are going to have an upgrade in some of what they're driving. They own these vehicles, so do they end up then, you get the advantage of having an airport contract because you're Crown Cab, but your drivers all of a sudden have to pull a whole bunch of money out of their pocket if they want to keep that airport service with you.
Right. So it's a partnership. I mean, the drivers, we don't, in our company, we primarily look for owner, operator, cab drivers. Meaning they own their own cars. And our ability to provide them, or our reputation to provide them, a place to work that is safe and sustainable impacts which drivers are prepared to make the investment, right? So I think that's universal. Like, I think companies, if they're going to bring drivers who own their own car, are in the long run more profitable. I think most every driver will agree. And it's important that the company be able to create the platform from which the drivers can make their own investments and have the horizon over which to make their returns. And that's going to be our responsibility.
So is it possible then that there will be drivers, Crown Cab drivers, who cannot afford to purchase the newer vehicle that will be required to continue driving at the airport with you, and they will have to go somewhere else or stop driving a cab?
Right. So I think we're going to be in a situation where we've been around since 1987, right? We've seen a lot of drivers come in and out of our doors. We know drivers for many, many years. You know, our responsibility is going to try to encourage, were this to go through, we'd have more slots than we have drivers right now. We will be in the position of trying to bring in drivers from throughout the city who have either driven at the airport or have driven on the city wanting to drive at the airport, and encourage the best ones to drive. Now, if some of the very best just cannot or do not want to buy their own car, and we believe that by going to, you know, if we bypass that person and go to someone who can afford their own car, if we're going to see a huge drop in quality, then we're going to try to make that, we're going to, you know, try find a car and rent the car to that driver. Our objective is to provide the best drivers and the best service to the customers.
I think
and
what,
I think that's
And I think what is clear, what we're hearing, is that this will be a shakeup in the same drivers who are at the airport now will not all 100% still be at the airport after this change goes through. There are companies that have these lucrative permits because companies can charge more to their drivers for those franchise fees if they're at the airport. Without that airport money, I have had company owners say to me, if I don't have a contract at the airport, I cannot sustain my business. So Councilman Doolin, the question to you is, are we prepared for the sake of more control over uniformity and experience of service? Are we prepared to see cab companies, small businesses go out of business and individual drivers lose their jobs?
Well, I don't know if we're prepared for that. That might be a byproduct of this if we work through it. But we're far, I think, from being a final solution to this question now. I mean, again, it comes back to council really wanting to get it right.
So there's a couple of things. Just quickly, there's companies that have been in existence for many years who don't have a spot at the airport. Expressway, Professional, and City started recently. So I don't think that the airport is essential for survival. Now, I do agree that, as drivers have said, that there is an oversupply on the streets. And once the ordinance is approached by City Council and they make a decision on the ordinance, we can go through and start trying to take a look at the numbers game as part of the PVH board, and other people can take a look at the numbers game, which is an important factor in the profitability of the drivers long term.
That's all we have time for this afternoon, this morning, that is. But the Council's Community Safety Committee will discuss these revisions this coming Wednesday. Also, a vote on the airport taxi contracts is set for June 13th at the City Council. We have had with us today taxi driver Abdi Dwali, Crown Cab Executive Meyer Kandelwal, and Charlotte City Councilman Andy Doolin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Sitting in for Mike Collins, I'm Julie Rose. This is Charlotte Talks.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production.